So let's just pray now as we enter our message this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your presence. And Lord, I pray as we just come around your word now, that Lord, you will be the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of counsel. Holy Spirit, would you deposit and release and plant seeds in our heart and our mind, our spirit. There would be a fruit today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Lord, less of me, more of you. We just bless you, Father, for this incredible time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Who am I? Who am I? Talking this morning about identity. All of us could say, well, I'm many things, and we all are many things. I'm a man, a husband, father, grandfather, pastor, bit of a petrol head, lover of fine food. I'm all of those things, and they are good things, but the question I'm asking this morning is much, much deeper than that. Who am I? Who are you? What's my identity? What's your ID? The other day I had to verify that I was who I was at the bank. I mean, they should know me, shouldn't they? But I had to prove that I was me with my ID. What's your ID? Who are you on the inside? Last year when I had my heart attack, I was in hospital, and it's a good place for this to happen, but they were taking blood as they do, which I do not like, needles, and they couldn't get it from my left arm, so they tried my right arm and still couldn't get it, and I hate those words that the nurse says, "Where's the vein?" You know, tap, 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 tap. Where's the vein? And I said to her, "I don't feel very well." That was that. I passed out. I've done that before, so that's not unusual. But when I woke up, it was unusual. Because around my bed were about 8 or 9 people, nurses, with very concerned looks on their faces. And I said to them, "What happened?" I knew exactly what had happened. I just passed out, but something else must have happened for there to be all these people around my bed. And the senior coronary nurse introduced herself to me and said, "Mr. Whitwell, your heart stopped for 30 seconds, but we got you going again with CPR. That was quite something. It took me, it's still taking me some time to come to terms with that. And I want to tell you this morning that there was a tension there. And I think life is like this sometimes. There's tensions between two truths that are both true. On the one hand, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I have died. That's fine. I'm okay. I know where I'm going. Jesus is my Saviour. My sins are forgiven. I'm heaven bound. I'm happy with that. I'm good to go. If I go now, I'm happy with that. But I know that I've got some more time. But so on that's the one hand, I was happy with that. But on the other hand, there was lots and lots of questions. Lord, you know, is my wife going to be a widow again? You need to hear his story about that. Are my children going to be left fatherless, you know? Who am I? I began to think about, well, who am I? What now? Where do I go from here? What's life going to be like? Who am I now? And so there was those two tensions, and I think faith and God's grace helps us hold those things in tension. But I want to share with you some things about identity this morning. And we go to a passage of the word in Matthew chapter 16. And it's Jesus here. I just love Jesus sometimes, the way he kind of plays with his disciples. And Matthew 16 verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I mean, talk about an open book question. And so they said, well, some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then he drilled right down and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And interesting and significantly, it was Simon Peter who answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, and you are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is, will I build my church." Identity. Who are you? Who do you think you are? It's a huge issue in today's world and it touches everyone. And one of the most important questions I think we could all ask ourselves is, who am I? Sadly, many people don't, won't, haven't and can't answer that question. They feel like the old cat there, you know, thinking he's a cow. Or an orange tree thinking it's an apple tree. So many people don't know what to do in life or get life all mixed up, get all confused in life because they don't really know who they are. They think they're someone they're not. And they try to be or try to do what they think others want them to be or do. Or even horrifically, they try and fulfill some prophecy that someone's given them. A bad identity can lead to rejection and incredibly bad low self-esteem. And this message was proven through my journey through my heart attack. This truth is real to me. Peter at first, you see, didn't know who Jesus was. Remember, he denied Jesus. But afterwards, he did discover and became the founder of the church. And so when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He knew who he was, but the revelation of who Jesus was given to Peter by the Father was the revelation that took Peter into his ministry and it was the revelation that built the church. We too need a revelation of who Jesus really is. Do you know who Jesus really is? I mean, not just a meek and mild Savior, but the Son of the Living God. The creator of the heavens and earth. The one who holds the stars and created them all and created you and every intricate, minute, microscopic cell in your body that works together in perfect harmony most of the time. But Peter then had a revelation and an understanding of something else. He had a revelation of who he was in Christ, which then propelled him into his destiny. And so we too need these two revelations of who Jesus is and of who we are in him. Do you know who you are in Christ? Because that'll change your life forever. We can spend an eternity and a lifetime trying to discover a sense of identity. And here I am on a slippery slope down to completing 6 decades of life. I'm just discovering who I really am in life, sad to say. Okay, 3 points. Firstly, where do we get our identity messages from? Who tells us who we are? Is it our achievements? Is it the things we do at work, in life? Is it our behavior, how we act and respond? Is it approval from others or disapproval? Is it appearance? Do we dress for success? Is it possessions, the things that we've accumulated? Do they give us a sense of identity? Is it relationships, people we know? Do we name drop to feel better about ourselves on the inside? How about you? Is it your work or what you do or who you know or something you've achieved? Or do you try and dress up to cover up? Number 2, this is the crux of what we want to say this morning. We are complete in him. That's our true identity. And over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, this, by the way, is a Bible. I'm a little bit saddened that we don't see them so often on the pulpits of our churches so much. And I'll tell you why, because in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, I'm just reading there, and 9, and this morning I just looked up a little bit in verse 8 before we get to verse 9, and it says there, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit." Another word for cheat is plunder. And I felt that so important this morning, that the devil is out to steal and kill and destroy and plunder the truth from our minds and the truth that sets us free. You see, we know that the truth will set you free, but the devil will try all he can to try and plunder and rob the truth from your mind. So Colossians 9, chapter 2 verse 9 says, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in him. See, when God saved us, we were immersed into Christ, and that's where we reside. That's our position. That's our position. Remember, you can look at this later, but in John chapter 1, it talks there that Christ was the fullness of grace and truth. And then it says, of his fullness we have all received. So we have been immersed into the fullness of Christ, grace and truth. Wow! That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So as a believer, this is where we are right now. In him we have everything we need. In him we are righteous. In him we're holy. In him we're strong. In him we're kings and priests. In him we are victorious. In him we are more than conquerors. In him we are blood-bought sons and daughters of the Father. In him we are the salt of the earth. In him we have the mind of Christ. In him we can never be separated from the love of God. In him we are the branches of the vine. In him we have permanent access to the full life of Christ. In him we are saved by his grace. In him we are not a mistake. In him we are forgiven. In him we are worth more than the gold in 1,000 gold mines. In him we have a future. In him we have a purpose to live for on this earth. In him we are the apple of the Father's eye. In him we are his treasured possession. That's good, eh? It's so true. Excuse me. Now, wow. That's part of our completeness in Christ. We are complete in him. Now think about this for a moment. Either it is true or it is not. If it isn't true, then you and I will always need more. You might hear this from time to time, and you might hear that you just need another touch from God. You just need another blessing. You just need another baptism. You just need another experience. To me, that is the theology of deficiency. My God is more than enough. El Shaddai. Elohim. More than enough. Yet when you've received this, and some of these things are good, we're not talking about the daily need for refreshing and nurturing in God and receiving from him for our daily needs. That's not what I'm saying. This is more of a positional thing. But when you hear these things, you still need more. Such teaching implies that you are in fact incomplete. And my Bible tells me that I am complete. Now all these things are good, but we need to discover what it is that we already have and who we are already in Christ. That's what I'm saying this morning. Who are we already in Christ? One of my favorite New Testament books is the book of Ephesians. Man, there's some truth in the book of Ephesians. You can hardly go wrong just reading that week after week, day after day. The book of Ephesians is packed with stuff. Chapter 1, verse 3, I'll just read some stuff out to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where am I? Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Wow. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Wow. Verse 19. Paul's praying for the Ephesian church, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Wow. This is mind-blowing stuff. Only the Holy Ghost can help us really understand this. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Ephesians. And you he made alive who once were dead. Man. And verse 6 of chapter 2. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. And verse 8. And by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Wow. That's good, isn't it? Excuse me. Now, imagine Matt. Excuse me. Anybody here by the name Matt? It's not about you. But it could be. Depends on what car you drive. But imagine Matt. He's on his way to Auckland and he's running really, really late. And he's gone over the Kaimais, and he's in his I'm not sure if it was his Falcon XR6 or his Holden whatever it is, you know, SX6 or something. No, I think it might have been a Jaguar XJ8. No, I think after all it was a Beamer. It was a Beamer 3 Series. Yeah, that's what it was. But anyway, he's over there and he's on those beautiful big long straights. And he's blasting down there at 200 kilometres an hour. Some of you are laughing rather guiltily. Now, apart from being a dumb and dangerous thing to do, he knows it is not right. And he feels guilty. And he feels ashamed. On Saturday evening, the devil says to him, he says, Matt, you can't go to church tomorrow. You know what you did during the week. If you go, you're a hypocrite. But what is a hypocrite? It is one who wears a mask and pretends to be someone he is not. Is Matt a hypocrite if he goes to church? No. Because his true identity is in Christ, if he's a Christian. That's who he is. He's a child of God. And so by attending church, Matt is living in accordance with his true identity. That's what his true identity. And so he has a new nature and a new identity. It means that he cannot sin without feeling conviction. That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. When you sin, you feel conviction. It's very sharp and very accurate. You know exactly what you've done. And so this is what happens, something like this. While he's speeding down the road there at 200k in his XJS, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit says, Matt, what are you doing? This is not who you are. It's not your identity. You're not a sinner. You're righteous. You're not filthy. You're holy. Do you really want to do this? Stop, repent, and be who you are. Walk in righteousness. So he does. He pulls over to the side of the road and repents. You see, conviction is being hit with the truth. There's a beautiful verse in John chapter 15. We all know it very well. It's the vine story. And in John chapter 15 verse 4, it talks about the vine and the dresser and so on. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I've noticed there that five times in that story, five times it says abide in me. But only twice does God say, I in you. That tells me that it's easier for the divine to abide in the human than for the human to abide in the divine. That's why we need to press into God. Because when we press into him, we become like him. The branch is part of the vine. Effectively, the two are one. That's why we need to abide in him. He abides in us and we become one. So, number three, who are you? Who are you? What's your identity? Well, I will tell you. You are who he is. You are who he is. His identity is yours. His identity is yours. That's massive for the human brain, isn't it? That's why I prayed at the beginning, because I'm still coming to terms with this stuff. See, people don't understand that there's a tension between the fact that we are some things and we are becoming some things. We are some things and we are becoming some things. See, firstly, we are complete in him. That's a done deal. We are complete. That's our spirit. We are forgiven. We are righteous. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are pure. We are holy. We are worthy in him. And you can't be half forgiven. You can't be half worthy. You can't be half righteous. You can't be half holy when you're in Christ. The devil lies to us. Don't be robbed. Don't be thwarted of the truth. Don't let the devil to try and water down the truth. The truth shall set you free. Freedom is freedom. So don't be robbed of the truth. That's who we are in him. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. See how all the times it says in him. We read there, you are complete in him, Colossians 2:10. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What? Man. So we become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's kind of like this. This has helped me understand it. One of these days I'm going to get Delise and the graphics team to draw me up this beautiful graphic about how when God looks at us, he sees us through the cross. That's how God sees us. He sees us through the cross. That's when he looks at you, yes, we see ourselves with all our filth and shame and pain and sorrows and failings and stuff in us that's wrong. We look in the mirror and see all those things, but when we come to Christ, he doesn't see that. He forgives. He cleanses. When God looks at us, he looks at us through the pure blood of Jesus. Wow. That's good, eh? We are complete in him. That's what's a done deal. That's what we are. That's our spirit. But the second part of this tension is that we are becoming more like him. People can't cope with these two things, what I mentioned at the beginning. There's tensions that we use, that we must hold in faith in our life. This is the soul and the body part. We are becoming more like him. This is the change process of life. This is character and actions and things, the fruit of our life that needs to change and become more like him. And he does it by his grace. And you'll hear the legal eagles getting out on this one and trying to hammer us about stuff in our lives that isn't quite right yet. But God's still working on us. We're a work in progress. All of us are like that, aren't we? That's why there's grace. I'm glad God has grace for me, so let's have grace for one another. Wow. If the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, we quote this a lot, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I believe that. But there's two parts to that. Salvation is an event and a process. Salvation is an event. Bang! I remember the day when I was a 15-year-old teenager, I came to the Lord at a Boys Brigade camp, gave my heart to Jesus. Life changed at that moment. I knew I was born again. I didn't have to be told very much. I knew what had happened in here. I was different on the inside. Stuff had happened. I knew I was forgiven. From that moment, although it's been tested over the years and tried many times, I know where I'm going if I die and when I die. That's a done deal. I'm forgiven. But the second part says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's kind of like sin has consequences sometimes. Imagine our friend Matt again. What's he in this time? Oh, I think he might be in an Audi. Yeah, that's a good car. Blasting down the road at 200k and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. So he pulls across to the side of the road and boop, boop, boop. He's got caught by a traffic cop. So, of course, he's going to have to pay the fine and suffer the consequences of his speeding. But immediately he repents and says, oh, God, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. Immediately he says that prayer and genuinely repents. He's forgiven of that sin, but he has to pay the consequences of his sin in life. And life is like that sometimes. Many times our actions, our sinful actions, they are forgiven immediately, but the consequences last a little longer. Just don't get me started on some subjects about that. Excuse me. We are complete in him. We are becoming more like him. So let's round this out this morning with a few massive statements that will more than blow your mind here. Here's the first of them. Who we are, I've got by the price of the blood of Jesus, and who we are becoming by his transforming power is all the result of the cross of Jesus. And I'm glad we shared communion this morning. Everything we are, every part of our identity, who we are in the natural and who we are becoming, it is because of the cross of Christ. We owe a debt to him. Well, there's nothing we could become or can aspire to without the cross. What a savior, what a Lord, what a friend, what a provider, what a wonder he is to give us everything he does, to give us his identity. Amen? To call us his sons and his daughters. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Here's another big statement. It's not our condition that determines our position, but our position that determines our condition. See, too often we talk about body, soul, and spirit. But it's not that way around at all. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's the spirit first, then the soul is subordinate to the spirit, and the body is subordinate to the soul. But too often we say body, soul, spirit, and we're conditioning our mind that the spirit is subject to the body. It's a fleshly thing. But it's not that way around at all. What a great revelation these things are for mental health. I think if we focus more on who we already are, maybe the who we are becoming would happen more naturally. At least that's what I'm discovering anyway. You see, we cannot and do not have the ability and the resources to save ourselves and give ourselves an identity. You might live at a certain address and you might have a certain name and you've descended from certain ancestors and all of these things, and you're this and that and the other, and you do these things, and that's a certain part of your identity. But who are you really? We don't have the ability to get an identity really that will stand the test of eternity. So in essence, we owed a debt we could not pay, but Jesus on the cross paid with his own life a debt he did not owe. It's entirely his effort and his doing. Our part is just to believe in him and receive all that he's accomplished on our behalf. That's a bit one-sided, really, isn't it? Absolutely. That's why it's called grace. If it wasn't grace, it wouldn't be grace. So I trust you know him this morning. I trust you know him and as the personal Lord and Savior in your life. James says in chapter 2 verse 10, break just one law and we're guilty of breaking all the law. But the truth is, turn it the other way, which is so true as well, do just one righteous thing, be in Christ, and all of his righteousness is yours. So when the devil tells you how rotten and bad you are, just remind him of the righteousness of Christ. That's your standing. That's your identity. That's who you are. See, our brain will steer us in the direction of the picture we have of ourselves. How do you picture yourself? And I've wrestled with this a lot in my younger years. But whatever we give attention to, we give strength to. And so I'm trying to focus more on who I am in Christ and what my true identity is as a son of the living God. Here's another massive, massive statement. Completeness in our position will result in wholeness in our condition. We've got to choose what God says about us and believe it. That's our key to wholeness and a healthy identity. There's nothing you can do for God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do for God to love you less. We are complete in him. Christ is our identity. One of the music team can come and sing a song just to close in a minute, but just to read a little story for you. Christ is my identity. All that we do, all that we are in life, all that I am as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor, as a petrol head, and all of these other things, they all find their best in the outworking of my identity in Christ. Same for you. Whoever you are, whatever you do, it comes out, the best will come out in that as you identify and understand who you are in Christ. Pastor Ken Legg, in his book, The Road Ahead, tells the story of an old down-and-out tramp shuffling along the road one day. And he was depressed and miserable. He had no purpose in his life, and his face showed it. And he sat down in a gutter opposite an artist's studio, and the artist noticed him. And the artist began to sketch this man's portrait. But instead of drawing his facial features with a look of hopelessness and despair, he drew him with a bright and with a positive and a wonderful countenance, and he now appeared as one with purpose and destiny in his life. And he called the tramp over and to where he was, and he showed him this portrait. And he said, "This is a picture of you." And the old man said, "Me? Is that me?" He said, "It's wonderful. If that is a picture of me, he vowed, I'm going to go out and become that man. Friends, there's a picture of you in this book. Some of it I've tried to explain to you today. Can I encourage you to look into this book and see who you are? And on that discovery and on that revelation, vow to go out and become that person. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are our righteousness. We are complete in you. Thank you, Lord, that we're also a work in progress. Lord, forgive us for our failings and weaknesses, but thank you for your grace and mercy, and give us grace and mercy for others who are also on the road of growth. But Lord, thank you. Would you help us understand who we really are? Our identity. That Lord, we have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling. Wow, Lord, it's just too much for us, Lord. Help us to understand this as we go our way, Lord, as we're not just going as a human being. We're going as sons and daughters of the living God. We are righteous. We are holy in Christ. We are fully forgiven. We're seated at your right hand, Lord, in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Lord, thank you that you welcome us into your presence. I pray that these truths will liberate us and you'll guard these truths in our mind. We speak the covering of the blood of Jesus. We take the helmet of salvation over our mind to guard these truths within them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.